This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
All right, welcome back in our numero dos here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hope you're enjoying your Tuesday afternoon.
People are fired up today, man. We've had some good, like, rivalry debates both before the show and after the show.
It's also really too bad the listeners can't see you dancing coming back from break.
I mean, it's Peaches and Cream. Come on. How do you not dance to Peaches and Cream?
You want
to
see it? You got to sign up. Tell these TV companies put a damn camera right in here.
Hey, I'll talk to my friends at the CW. What do you think the CW airs in the afternoon?
That's, you know, what's kind of funny about that, so when we
the Robert Irvin show? Who the hell is Robert Irvin?
Irvine.
Is it Irvine?
He's a chef.
Oh,
he's that ripped bald chef.
No, this
chef
is
with
not
glasses, right?
A chef show. This is what does he say to make her run off? This is a Jerry Springer spinoff.
No, but he's the chef. I didn't know he had a show like this.
What?
Yeah, Robert Irvine is he's like a restaurant critic.
I think you're making this up completely, and I just can't.
He's the ripped guy,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. He is.
Thank you.
You're
in
right.
Your freaking face.
I've seen him on the Food Network.
My grandpa was on one of his episodes.
Was he really?
Yeah.
A food show or like a You Banged Your Cousin show?
Well, no, my cousin was on one of those shows. My uncle was on his food show because they went to the Dalles.
Uh-huh. It exploded in my face.
Yeah, it did. But they couldn't identify who the father was.
Why does this guy have a show like this on the CW? I'm so confused right now.
There is something about him that's entertaining.
We could pull better than the Robert Irvine show.
This is my point. Go to like CBS right now or Channel 8 or 12. What the hell are any of the local channels playing right now?
We have The Talk on CBS.
Nobody watches The Talk.
We have Days of Our Lives on KGW.
All right, they bump us.
And the Wendy Williams show.
Wendy Williams is terrible.
On Fox 12.
Sounds like you guys should tweet out the programming and say, how many of these would you watch over us? And, you know, give options A,
good
B, and C.
Good poll questions there, Buck. I like that idea.
Yeah, you know, would the daytime audience watch it.
Dude, I want to know more about this Robert Irvine situation because he was on. Do you ever watch what's our boy's name? Flavor Town.
Oh, Guy Fieri.
He has his cooking challenge show.
Yeah.
He's like the master chef, and they have to try and beat that guy. And I watch that up. I watch those every now and then. Why does he have like a Love Life talk show?
Guy Fieri does?
No, Robert Irvine for being a chef. This is like about why'd your man run out on you? It's that
know.
Kind of show.
Maybe he doesn't want to be held in the box.
I'm taking my daughter's kids away for good. That's what they're doing now.
What's the most random thing you enjoy doing?
Ooh. I don't know if I'm this interesting.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, like, maybe this is his.
I mean, what's the most random thing you enjoy doing?
Mine would probably be cooking, but I don't even know if that's random.
The most random, like, out of crazy left field that nobody would ever guess. I actually really like to have a glass of wine and watch really cheesy bad movies.
Okay. Yeah, that's not that crazy.
No, it sounds like a pretty normal weeknight.
But I mean, like, really bad movies. Like, not even, like, classic movies like Dumb and Dumber or Happy Gilmore. We're going real cheesy here. Real cheesy.
I mean, I laughed at Paul Blart Mall Cop, so I'm kind of in the same boat with you.
I was going more rom-com.
Oh, you're a rom-com guy, huh?
Yeah.
So you're pouring out the vino and firing up a little Pitch Perfect? Is that what's happening here?
I watched some Pitch Perfect, yeah.
It all makes sense now.
Well, I was raised by a woman. What do you want me to do? This was a Thursday night. Don't judge me. Maybe that's Robert Irvine's.
This is his passion?
This is his passion.
So you're telling me I need to go get like a cooking show or something? That would be the equivalent of this?
Kind
of, Dirt
yeah.
talking about spaghetti sauces on TV?
It would probably have people going, why are you doing this?
Dude, why is Dirt rubbing meatballs on my screen?
He only talks sports. Why is he doing a cooking show?
Don't paint me in a box.
Exactly.
I got to flap my feathers. I'm a peacock.
That's how Robert Irvine feels.
Okay.
All right, we have a loaded second hour, and we're going to kick it off with this as just stop watching daytime TV.
Sorry.
He's sitting here drooling over these big butts that are on television.
Wendy Williams, entertaining.
Well, not her butt, but somebody else she's talking about. Anyways.
Okay, sorry.
So before he was distracted by Gluteus Maximus, Dirt brought up the question because Oregon scheduled a home-and-home with Michigan State, but it's not going to start till 2029, which has got a lot of people joking and laughing about, oh, you know, who's going to be the coach, how old we're all going to be at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Still pretty kick-ass to get a home-and-home again with Michigan State. Those two games they played were really good.
Yeah, both of them were solid.
So I missed the trip to East Lansing last time. I really wanted to go. When I will have the chance again, I will be 45 years old, though, which is, like, really a bummer.
There were a lot of good Marcus Mariota Jr. jokes. Mariota Jr.
I was almost thinking about what are the things that we'll be talking about or people will be talking about on 1080 The Fan 12 years from now. I'll probably be talking about, like, Bronny James Jr.
Yeah.
And his, you know, what he's got going this offseason or something.
Is Greek Freak out of his prime now? Like, there's a lot of things you could go with.
Yeah, what's happening 12 years from now?
Oh, man.
Your daughter's going to be, what, 17?
She will be just about done with school, yeah.
Wow.
She'll be applying to colleges, maybe going to prom.
Dude, she could be looking at Michigan State. Boom, Bork trip. Two birds, one stone. I just solved it for you. You go check out the East Lansing campus, and you catch a football game while you're there.
I don't know how I'm going to be as a dad if she tries to go that far. Like, I allow her to be pretty independent, but thinking about your child being that far away at that age, being that sex...
I'm with you.
That's
on that.
A little unsettling for me as a father. I got to be honest with you.
That's terrifying. Oh. I agree with Rop on this that I want my kids, if I ever have kids, to go to a place that I want to visit. I'm very selfish in that regard. Like, don't go to a school that I can't have fun at.
Mm.
Like, I can come visit you and we can go to a game or something. Like, go someplace cool.
This dovetails nicely into a future discussion about what schools we'd like to visit.
It really does.
See, right? Like, what if your kid went to, like, Ole Miss?
I'm not into that.
Dude, just fly, like LSU. No. How kick-ass with that Notre Dame?
No.
Dude, you wouldn't want to go like, hey, Dad's weekend. Let's go watch a Michigan game.
I visited Tennessee for the Oregon-Tennessee game in 2011, I had just graduated from my undergrad, and I immediately started looking at graduate programs at Tennessee because I liked it there so much. I just wanted to stay there more.
See, here's the thing, though. I think we're taking into account, like, going to a football game at all those places is pretty cool. So are you only taking into account that's why you want your kid to go to that school?
Without a doubt.
That gets old to me after two games.
See, it doesn't. I go to one or two of them a year. Mm. It's not like I'm getting season tickets. I'm not going to live there.
I guess you could make it a yearly tradition with your kid. Like, hey, I'm going to go to...
We'll pick the one big game I want to come out to every year.
Right.
And you go fly out. You can tailgate. Go to the game.
That's a pretty good point.
It's either that or going someplace it's sunny weather and I could go visit you in, like, Arizona.
Okay, but let me give you a tough one here, and then we'll get to really the question you asked. Let's pick a big time school that would be kick ass to go to a football game. Just throw one out for you.
LSU.
Okay, your kid gets accepted to five schools, right? Let's say bucks the trend of your intelligence is way smarter, gets into five schools. Two of the five are their favorites: San Diego State or LSU. Where are you pushing?
I don't push. I'm okay with either of those.
They ask your opinion.
Because San Diego State, I can go down to Padres games. I'll find something. Just go give me something to do.
Which one would you rather them be at?
Probably San Diego State for the weather and the baseball factor. But if they went to LSU, I'd be totally cool with it. You go to the LSU-Alabama game, go to the LSU-Tennessee game. Maybe they play a non-conference game you could go to.
That's interesting because San Diego State's partying reputation is just through the roof. So closer proximity to here, but...
Well, is he trying to be a dad that nails co-eds or what are we talking about?
I'm saying you're worried about your offspring getting anything done there because they're partying so much.
Yeah. Well, Dirt's parents had to worry about that.
Yeah, it didn't really matter where I was going to go.
That's pretty damn sure.
It didn't matter what school.
Yeah, it's just going to be genetic for him.
It just runs.
All right, well, let's get to it then. The question was asked before the show... So Oregon's playing Michigan State, which is pretty cool. If you could have your favorite program, so this is going to be a tough one for Oregon State because they never usually get it. But if your favorite team could have a home and home with any college football team in the country, who would it be? 55305, we'll get to that next on 1080 The Fan. You know, I kind of did drop the ball in that last segment. So it wouldn't be like watching cheesy movies. That's just like an interest that you wouldn't guess. I guess to relate it to Robert Irvine, it would be my love and affection for monster trucks.
Yeah, no, that's a super random thing.
Like if I did this radio show and then randomly you saw me on TV doing a monster truck breakdown show.
Yeah, like a post-game show.
What'd you think of Gravedigger? I didn't think you got enough height on that one.
Like, dude, really?
Like, why is he
Come on now.
Doing that?
Yeah.
That'd be more an apt comparison.
Mine would probably be in that regard, the urban cowboyness of me, that I love country music and I love rodeos.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It doesn't really vibe with a lot of things in my life, but it's something that I'm passionate about.
Although the name Dirt, it vibes with.
That it does. That it does.
Yeah. See, we each got something here. You brought up this question before the show, and it got a lot of people like wondering within the office, and we're kind of just curious what listeners would come up with here. So Oregon gets the home and home with Michigan State in 2029. If you could ideally pick a home and home series with anybody in college football, and Beaver fan, we all know the reality here. Wisconsin was about as good as you're ever going to get.
Yeah, why did Wisconsin do that and nobody else will? It wasn't like Wisconsin was a down program at that time.
No, I think Bielema was still the coach.
Yeah, you wish that was more of a quid pro quo in college football. Like that, if you're going to schedule it, you have to do it that way.
Well, most schools, I don't know, Wisconsin's thinking here because maybe they're not in the recruiting ranks of some of the other top schools.
Yeah.
They're a good program, but some of those other schools won't come out here because, one, they don't think it's worth it recruiting-wise. You go to Oregon, you're competing against Oregon in recruiting. You're not really competing against Oregon State in recruiting. So what do you get out of that?
Okay.
But if you could ideally pick any team in college football, you get a home and home, who would it be?
Well, I have an answer, but I know it's going to be your answer, so I'm not going to have the same one as you because I have a feeling we have the same answer to this question. After thinking about this long and hard, I think I'm probably on this one going to go with Georgia. I feel like Georgia, LSU.
Between the hedges.
Between the hedges. It's a great atmosphere.
I've heard it's an amazing atmosphere.
No matter how good or bad that they've been. It gets away from the Alabama stuff. I think Alabama's too cliche of an answer. LSU is really tempting because of just the idea of going to Baton Rouge. But I feel like Georgia and where they're at right now as a program, the aspect of getting them to come to your place and a fun place to go visit.
Well, this is going to be 10 years from now because that's how college football works.
That is the way that they work.
11.
Excuse me.
Or
2029. We're scheduling 2040 right now.
Yeah, 2029, Michigan State's actually coming to Eugene. So you're going to have to wait till 2030 right. to go.
So I'm gonna go with Georgia on this one.
You're going Georgia,
yeah.
Huh? Buck, who would you go?
I actually like the LSU answer better than the Georgia answer, just because I think on top of getting the SEC football culture, you then also get the kind of Cajun Baton Rouge culture. You get the food. I think their tailgate experience may just have a different vibe to it than Georgia's. Ole Miss is way at the top of my list. They essentially claim that they may not win every game, but they've never lost a party. Everyone gets really turned out at the Grove there.
Yeah.
That would be very high on my list. Others I put down, Texas, West Virginia, and Wisconsin.
West Virginia is a sleeper.
You'd want to go to West
Virginia? West Virginia would
Sing
be a fun.
The old country road with John
home.
Denver
yeah.
in the stadium. Yeah. And like, I think those people probably really know how to tie one on.
They have a good time.
Yeah, something tells
burn
me
a couch. Help them burn couches after Oregon beats them.
Well, and part of this too for me is trying to rule out D-bag fans. And I don't
well,
know if
that's tough to identify.
No,
though,
it is
it?
For sure. But you have some stories. Like I've heard from Oregon State fan who went to that LSU game and said LSU fans were awful.
Ooh, I've actually heard the complete
You've heard the opposite.
Yeah.
See, I have not heard good things about LSU fan. I don't want to deal with Alabama fan.
You don't want to see what it's like in Tuscaloosa on a game day, though?
I mean, sure I do, but not atop my list.
See, you guys, I know the route you're taking, and I don't blame you. You're taking the route of going, and that is pretty cool. Like, Buck, you mentioned the East Lansing trip with Oregon. I am still kicking myself, and I will always kick myself, because that was the year you could have double dipped. Oregon State played at Michigan that morning.
Same day, yeah.
And then Oregon played Michigan State like in the evening, and you could have gone to both. And I have a couple people who I know that went to both.
That would be really cool.
And they said it was kick ass. So I always regret that. I also take into account, though, the feeling you get when that opposing helmet trots into your stadium. And I can equate it the best way of saying, I'll always remember the first time I watched USC at Oregon State and kind of just that surreal, holy
sure.
crap, they're here, let's go.
It's a big
go.
Deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal because of who they are. There's something cool about seeing that helmet run into your stadium, too, to see if your team can upset them. So,
and I don't have that with Michigan State. And I was at that Oregon-Michigan State. It was a great game.
It was an awesome game, but I agree that it logo doesn't quite,
the same quite
move the needle.
When I would say
like
too,
when Michigan was there or Oklahoma was there.
You say Ole Miss, and I don't blame you for going to Oxford. I would have zero emotion or care if they came
sure,
to
the only
stadium.
Thing you're going to do is beat an SEC team in your right. stadium and say we beat an SEC team in our non-conference schedule.
Which is, I mean, that's great.
We did have one Beaver fan text into the Better You Today text line saying, I'm going to be realistic here, and I'm going to go Vanderbilt so we can get a couple of SEC wins.
And then we get to make a trip to Nashville.
Yeah.
Which is not
which
a bad
a
place
city.
To make a trip to.
Boy, that's a sneaky good
sneaky
one.
Sneaky good pick.
So when I went to the game in Knoxville, we actually spent two nights in Nashville first. Then we went to Knoxville after that. It was a really great two-city combo trip.
The Texas one, you know, if you haven't been to Austin, I would highly recommend it. It is kick-ass. Tons of places to eat and drink. Just a really cool vibe. That stadium sucks.
But having them come back with that
Texas
Longhorn logo,
and
that moves the needle.
I'm with you on
or
that.
Or Corvallis would be a big deal.
Well, and I'm still always going to be, since I'm not an alum, I thought it was cool in the moment because I wasn't in college yet. I still am jealous and think it is so kick-ass. You guys got Michigan and Oklahoma to come back.
Yeah.
Like, watching Oklahoma go into Autzen, I remember watching that game on TV, Adrian Peterson, and you're just like, whoa. Oklahoma's here.
It's a big deal.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, that was. And you still haven't. Can you give your answer now? Because I want to give it if you're not going to give it.
I probably. See, I'm tough because it's almost a tie for me. I'll probably lean Clemson yeah. to watch him do the rock, the opening. What is that called? The
Howard's Rock.
Virginia Tech enter Sandman is pretty cool.
Blacksburg for a night game would
yes,
be really
that's a sleeper.
Something.
And then I've always, for whatever reason, loved Florida. I go to Gainesville. That would be a really cool experience.
Yeah, because Clemson, I didn't want to use the same answer as you. I think Clemson is my top pick. Just for everything that you get there, the fans seem like they'd be pretty cool just because of how many years they were like the program that couldn't do it and they were always knocking on the door. Like as somebody, I've dealt with some big time programs just from traveling to Oregon games. And it sucks when you get a bad one.
Yeah.
Like Ohio State fans suck. They're no, like Oregon State fan, if you go to that game this year, you'll learn that. Their fans are douche.
Or they won't care because
douchey.
We're
sure. I hated Wisconsin fans at that Rose Bowl. I did not expect that going in, but Wisconsin fan really rubbed me the wrong way.
There were a couple of them in the tailgate section
just
at
like,
the Oregon
dude,
State game that
who do you
weren't.
Think you are?
Yeah.
Okay, you're Wisconsin. I mean, nice, but come on, you're Wisconsin.
And they think the same thing about us.
Exactly,
who do you think you are?
Sure.
Right? You're Oregon.
They raise their brows. The one fan base that was the best, and I've always said this the most fun I've had at a big Oregon game was against Auburn fans were awesome, like going around bar to bar, and because you mingle with all these guys when you're at a game like that, and they were cool. They were buying drinks, they were talking about how good the game was. There was a slight disrespect factor for an SEC to a Pac-12 kind of thing, but for the most part they were all really cool, and that made the experience of going to that game more enjoyable. Because if the fan base is bad, then it turns into like an animosity thing.
Well, yeah, and you don't want to be on.
You
the,
don't want that. You don't want
the
like
brink
the arguing.
Of a fight.
Exactly. Yeah. So if everybody's kind of cool and you're just there, like, dude, it's gonna be a fun game. Let's have a good time. It adds to the experience.
One listener says Oregon and Oregon State both have the privilege of going to the greatest setting in college football. Go Huskies!
Right. Where's there. The vomit button on your guys' board? I don't know where that is.
Yeah, we don't really have that one. Actually, I think we took it off, to be honest with you. Yeah, I mean, look, it is a beautiful setting, though.
It is.
You do got to give them that. It's a beautiful setting.
Mistake on the lake.
Dude, I am a mistake on the lake. I'm a huge fan of Holman Homes when they schedule these.
I am, too.
Like, it's stupid to talk about 11 years from now, but it's just when you get it. And this is why
well,
another reason.
At least you scheduled it, though.
Sure. This is another reason why I'm hoping you go to 8. Because I think if you have an 8-team playoff, you're more willing to do this stuff.
Well, I'm pretty excited when Oregon State gets Oklahoma State. That's finally happening.
Is that a home and home or just at Oklahoma State?
I think
State?
It's a home and home.
Dude, that's kick ass. That'll be a fun one to go to.
Because we've always wanted OSUs to play each other, and they're both orange and black.
Right.
You should just go completely opposite, you know, black and then white and then black and then white.
You guys should also troll them that week and raise a 2000 national championship banner like they did for 1945. It's like, wait, didn't you finish 11th in the polls? How are you claiming that? Just claim the 2000 natty.
Coolest team to see coming to your stadium. Forget the home and home. They're only coming to your... I am surprised we haven't said Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
To see the Golden Dome come in.
The Domers coming into your building.
That's
kind of
cool.
But now I kind of associate... there's been some, I think, bitterness from people that think Notre Dame's been overhyped for too long.
Sure.
That they're almost like... The brand exceeds the product at this point where it's right. like, does it even mean what it used to mean?
See, a million people are texting in, and you could probably corroborate this, how awesome Tennessee fans were.
They were outstanding.
See, and
they
that
were
adds,
really great
it makes
to
it
us.
Fun, right?
But I think part of it is they had lowered expectations that year, so that they weren't quite as contentious because they weren't as competitive.
Sure. That was Lane Kiffin, wasn't it?
No, that was Dooley.
It was Derek Dooley.
Derek Dooley.
And we were with some friends, and I wasn't in the group that had these shirts, but they made shirts that said, "We hate Lane Kiffin too," and we got free drinks rolling with those guys everywhere.
See, it adds to it, man. Yeah. You want to go someplace like Ole Miss, that would make Ole Miss a lot of fun, is because their fans, like, dude, we suck at football. We just love to tailgate and have a good time. That's the kind of atmosphere I want to party in.
I went to Ole Miss, I'd probably have a shirt if you didn't wear the tie and the whole polo, you know.
You wouldn't go
guy.
Southern?
I'd probably wear a t-shirt that says, "I love the Blind Side movie." Since Michael Orr went there, hope to God I'd fit in.
Just Sandy Bullock's face on a t-shirt.
I love the Blind Side movie.
Go Biebs.
You've been drinking wine watching that movie, Sprig?
What a nice family for taking him
when
in.
When they buy him that car, I'll tell you what. I don't know. All right, we got NFL true or false. What's true, what's false? We'll find out what Buck thinks next on 1080 The Fan.
For one last time, I need y'all to brawl.
Welcome back in 135. Good stuff on the fan bases from all over the country. We had a Wisconsin fan text in and say Oregon fan was that way. They were awful. Yeah, the Oregon fans got a pretty bad reputation.
Yeah, you guys got some D-bag fans.
Yeah, he said it was because he's a Wisconsin fan. Apparently, they went to both Eugene and Corvallis. He's been to games at both those places. And he said Oregon State fans much nicer.
Well, I think this is the tough part about fan base and judging it, right? Like, you go to one game and now your idea of what the fan base is.
Or you sit around one bad bunch of fans. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And I think the tough part, like Wisconsin, the year that they beat Wisconsin, you know, they weren't coming off a stellar season. An Oregon State fan, you have a lot of D-bags and idiots out there that wear orange and black. But traditionally, we're not a very good program. So what do we have to be so uptight and angry about?
Yeah.
Listen, every fan base has individuals in it that are going to give the entire fan base a bad reputation.
Right.
You just hope that the people you're talking to haven't encountered the people that are like that.
Right.
I would say during the Chip Kelly run, it was Twitter for Oregon.
Oh, yeah, it was bad.
Because I knew and I would see and talk to Oregon fan all the time in person. And they were always super nice, no real shots. We joke, but anything serious. And then on Twitter, you get people that will give you death threats.
Well, because it's interesting because he also chimed in. He thinks Nebraska is the nicest fan base out there. And we were at that Nebraska game two years ago. Yeah. And I will say this. They are, in terms of niceness, yes. Like, they would like, hey, thanks for coming. Like, everybody was, somebody cussed at us at one moment. And another fan ran up and apologized to us for that fan cussing. There was kind of this arrogance that flowed through their fan base.
Yes.
Of like, do you know who we are?
We are Nebraska.
We used to be very good at this sport kind of thing.
Yep.
That rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, but they were very nice. I'll give them that.
Yeah, but see, you're not even describing people. You're describing a feeling.
Sure. You there was an arrogance like, feeling just flowing through that stadium.
Well, but when you pack 90 to 100,000 people, can you blame them?
Yeah. Well, no, not really. Not really. It's good to have arrogance. All right. Let's get to NFL true or false, shall we? What do we got, Buck? Did you cook this up? Did Swigard cook this up?
So Swigard cooked this up. I'm just going to try to fill in his stead and really just keep the ship afloat.
Most of us are not Swigards.
Yes, so most of us are not Swigards. That's why I'm just going to carry the torch for him today. Our first true or false, New York Giants first round draft pick, Saquon Barkley suffered a mild hamstring strain at practice on Monday, putting his availability for Friday's game against the Lions in question. True or false, Barkley will not have more than 10 more carries the rest of the preseason to preserve his health for the regular season.
Oh, this is 100% true. I don't think you play him against the Lions, and if you give him any more time the rest of the preseason, you give him like 3 carries max. I don't think he'll go over 10. This is true.
What does he need any more carries for?
He doesn't.
We need to learn his running routes? No, he is fine. He's ready to go. You don't want to risk injury here. Their season might hinge on his health. I know that's crazy to say, but he is going to be the focal point of their offense, him and Odell Beckham. This should, I hope, will be true, and I hope it's less than 5. I hope it's 0, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I think true is the right call here. I'm not a football player. I did not play football. From what I understand, running back, one of the easiest positions to learn as far as the offensive scheme. He should be taking all the mental reps the rest of the way in practice and in the film room. He doesn't need to touch a football in the preseason again. Moving on to number 2, Bears first round pick linebacker Roquan Smith finally worked out and the finally worked out the fine print and signed his contract to join Chicago. True or false, Smith will not receive any fines for his on-field incidents in his rookie year, namely helmet-to-helmet on-field incidents.
I don't think he's going to get one. So I'll say that this is true. He will not receive any fines.
Yeah, it's crazy they had to fight for that long over this. You know, and he didn't really necessarily have the kind of history of Georgia being a dirty player. He wasn't one of those kind of guys. You know, Reuben Foster kind of had that at Alabama. Some of those hits he had in college, you're like, dude, how is he still in the game? I remember a couple in that national title against Clemson. So because of that, the history, not having that reputation, I will say that this is true. He's not going to receive any fines.
I'm going to go contrarian on this. I'm going to say false just because after all this work to get the fine print worked out, why wouldn't a fine pop up? So that's where I'm going to go.
I'm still not sure, though, on the rules. Like, how does it even – is it one hit? Is it just we pick and choose as a league? That was dirty. We're going to fine you?
I guess the hits get reviewed is my understanding.
Okay, and if it's bad enough.
And the intentional and violent nature of it. If a guy's being held up and isn't making much movement, you drop your head, that's going to be worse than – if you're trying to break up a pass over the middle or something like that. I don't know.
I don't think the NFL knows.
I don't think they know.
I know the players don't know.
It's going to be an interesting 3 weeks to see how these last 3 weeks of preseason go and how the NFL reacts, because I don't think we're at a place yet where people are real comfortable with what's going on.
Right.
Number three, multiple fights and skirmishes broke out during NFL practices over the last couple days, including one at Dolphins camp that resulted in the team cutting defensive lineman Gabe Wright for taking a cheap shot at running back Kenyon Drake. True or false, it is the continued escalation of the number of fights in preseason training camps that will cause the league to reduce the length of preseason and the number of games in the next 2 years.
Oh, this is 100% false.
How stupid do you have to be to take a cheap shot at your own teammate?
In the moment, I can kind of see why. You are dumb.
Without a helmet on. Like, you do that against a guy on another team or something you're fighting or whatever, it's not that big of a deal in your locker room. You do that. Like, fights always happen in training camp. You take a cheap shot at your running back?
You have to be psychotic to play NFL football. So this stuff, like, how dumb? Like, I don't know if it's dumb. I just think at the moment they are so wired a different way that they don't think about anything. They are blacked out. They are different people. This is 100% false. They're not going to reduce any regular season games.
No, number of preseason games.
Oh.
But reduce the length of preseason and the number of preseason games.
I'm going to say that this is false.
The length of preseason? Yeah. Oh, okay. The number of preseason games and practices. No, this is false.
I'm going to say this is false, but I'm going to put an asterisk by it. And it's only because the CBA won't be wrapped up in the next 2 years. This will be a bargaining tool that I think the players fight for. They don't want four preseason games. It's not necessary. You can get everything you need to get done in three. The fourth one is a meaningless game to begin with that nobody plays in, and maybe you're deciding who's going to make your special teams lineup, but you should be able to figure that out in the first three preseason games when you have four quarters in all those games. This will happen, but not till the CBA. I don't think the CBA is up till like 2021 or 2022, so it eventually will, but just not in the next 2 years.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is false. The way Swag wrote it, it said that the fights are the reason for the shortening of the preseason.
The NFL doesn't care about
that. I don't think that'll happen at all. I do think injuries piling up in the preseason will eventually put fewer games on the schedule. So we'll see how that goes. The last one we have here on the list, I suppose, is one we could save. It involves Bud Light and the Cleveland Browns. You want to hold on to that one, or you want your true and false here?
We can do it. We'll do the true or false.
All right, so a Bud Light promotion A Bud Light promotion has placed chained up coolers full of beer in several Cleveland area bars that will only be opened and distributed for free when the Browns win their first game this season. True or false, Browns fans will not be drinking free Bud Light until November.
This is false.
This is false. Come on.
Come on. The Browns are going to go 5-11 or 6-10 this year.
Real quick.
So it's home against Pittsburgh, at New Orleans, home against the Jets, at Oakland, home against Baltimore, home against LA Chargers, at Tampa, at Pittsburgh. That's who they play before November.
They'll beat the Jets.
Jets, Raiders, or Ravens. I'm looking at that 3 week stretch. This totally would be a game that the Chargers drop because they are the Chargers after all.
Oof.
They'll get one of those from the Jets on the road in Oakland or home against Baltimore. They're going to get one of those three games.
Didn't the year that Hugh Jackson won one game, they beat the Chargers on Christmas Eve?
Let me pull up the 2016 schedule. They beat San Diego on Christmas Eve. They beat the San Diego Chargers. That was, and it was in week 16. They were 0-14.
That's right.
Wow. That's the only team he's ever beat. So, yeah, chalk that one up. They'll get the Chargers again this year.
He's got the edge.
He's undefeated against the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm going to say this is false as well. Although, I think it might be dicey. I think that they might get their first win week 7 at Tampa. I could see them losing
at Tampa.
Those other ones.
Ooh, Jameis' third start.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we don't even know what Jameis' deal is going to be. He might not be in there just because he's a terrible quarterback.
Yeah, Dirk Cutter did not commit to him starting week 4.
Is Jameis a terrible quarterback?
Yes.
Is Marcus Mariota a terrible quarterback?
Hell no. He's the GOAT. How many times has Jameis been in the playoffs? Get you one of these, Sprague. Get you a playoff win. Huh? How many of those does he have?
None.
That's right.
I was just asking a question.
Get those stats out of here. Playoff quarterback Marcus Mariota.
Playoff winner Marcus Mariota.
They were both pretty bad last year.
Not the playoffs.
Jameis couldn't even beat Oregon in a playoff game. So what does that say?
That exploded in your face, didn't it? Huh?
No, I'm just asking a question. I don't know why I'm being attacked.
It exploded in my face. There you go, NFL true or false. We do it every single Tuesday at 1:30. Speaking of the Cleveland Browns and their promotion, what do you think? Free beer? Is this a good idea? Crunch Time next on the Fam. Hey, Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Always $9.95 a month. So why would you ever pay more for a gym membership? I was not at the Glorious House of Gains today.
No, well, you're a bum.
Took a day off.
No days off.
Took a day off. I'll be there tomorrow, bright and early.
I was there doing a little work. And
let's
then,
do that hockey.
I had a big, ginormous buff dude playing himself right next to me.
Intimidating.
And bench press probably 310 on the incline.
What were you doing, about 95? A couple of 15s on there?
Was it Brooks Koepka?
Yeah, he's still wearing his same outfit, too.
Yeah, Koepka works out of crunch, you know?
No, you know, I was just doing my own thing. And,
sure.
You know, you're feeling good. You're like, all right, I'm getting some exercise today. When that guy sits next to you and then does his thing on a much bigger level,
a little intimidating.
You tend to just kind of walk away to a different area.
I'm going to go find a different machine. I'm going to go to the other side of the gym.
15s. These aren't heavy enough.
You should have said to him, hey, buddy, you want to go run on the treadmill, huh? I bet I can go longer than you.
Could you help me take some of these plates off, please?
I did see when I was there yesterday morning, there was because you don't work out in the morning anymore, so I don't see you there.
I did today.
Oh, you did today?
Yeah.
I saw a car that was your make, and I was like, hey, Sprager's here. I haven't seen him in a week. And then I looked in, and for a brief moment, I got really excited and then realized it wasn't your car. But the seats were covered with, like, cowhide. They had, like, cowhide covers on the inside of their seats. It's like, dude, did Sprague go full Alaska guy? He, like, skinned some cows up there, bring it back, put it on. Oh, no way, it's not his car. Dang
no.
It. Not his car.
I would have done the grizzly bear hide.
Coming back from the cattle drive.
That's right. Hey, a question for you guys. Is there anything better than free beer?
Okay, I'm going to sound like beer snob guy here.
Don't do it.
There is one particular beer that I will not take for free.
Free beer.
No, there's only...
The short answer is no. There's no such thing as...
Dude, if somebody walked in with any kind of beer right now, you would just turn it down?
There's one beer I will say no to.
Or you just say no, I don't want that beer.
No.
See, that's beer snob. I don't care how bad the beer is or how poor it tastes. I'll drink it. Yeah, sure, why not?
Can you say which beer it is?
No, I cannot. For fear of potential representation.
Yeah,
our
station. Understand that. That's why I asked.
Yeah, you know what I mean. But the Cleveland Browns are doing this. They are trying to celebrate winning a game this year. They're hoping they're going to win a game.
I do like the attitude and approach here.
So they have partnered up with Bud Light, and they have apparently put locked fridges of beer around their stadium. Now, they are filled with about 200 aluminum 16-ounce bottles. There's these little orange fridges, and they say Cleveland Browns, and on the front of it, it says, "When the Browns win, Cleveland wins." And the promotion here is when the Browns win a game this year, I guess I should say if the Browns win a game this year, the fridge will automatically be unlocked and the fans in attendance will get free beer. This is a genius promotional idea.
Do you think everybody that's 21 and older will really get a beer, though? Or do you think they run out?
I think you are underestimating the love of free stuff.
No. I'm not underestimating the crowd wanting it. I'm saying, will they not think everybody that can drink will probably want one?
See, I don't know. I don't know how many of these beer fridges they have in the stadium. I've not done the research on that.
I've been to Blazer games when they had the Chalupa promotion. They would be out of those coupons because people would get multiple. And then you'd walk and go, I want my chalupa. And they'd be like, I don't have any more. You have to go down to that gate. And you'd be like, I don't want to walk down there.
That's a whole thing.
I'm leaving without a free chalupa.
And here. I basically, at that point, too, at Blazer Games, now I just say no because I know I'm never going to use it. It's like, dude, I'm not, no, thank you, but I'm not going to go to that place.
I don't know why I was, this is it. This is the beer.
Yeah, sure. It's okay. You can
I like Budweiser a lot. Yeah. Actually, I'm a really big Budweiser fan. I do not like Bud Light.
Yeah, you're Bud Heavies, man. I'm all about the Bud Heavy lifestyle.
Give me some Bud Heavies.
I drink the Americas nonstop during the summer.
I'm out on this.
So, yeah, this is the promotion. They said, what did it say? The Bud Light Browns Victory Fridge is a fun way to celebrate and reward a fan base that has never wavered in enthusiasm or dedication to their team, no matter what happens. This is what Bud Light said in their statement. We're proud to show our support for Cleveland. We're always looking to bring NFL fans and friends together for memorable experiences. Yeah, and I'm curious how many people will just pass on this out of, you know, I don't want to wait for it. Buck brought up good points about they stop alcohol sales at like the end of the third quarter, right?
Well, so the thing was that I read, at least in Swag's True or False, is that these fridges or locked fridges would be placed all around bars in Cleveland, not necessarily the stadium.
So, okay, so not the stadium.
Because the stadium, I don't know how you'd get around the whole no beer sales after the end of the third quarter. So
where do you put them then around the city? I just figured they had to be in the stadium.
That's a good point. They probably can't do that. So yeah, hence the going to be at bars. That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you're right.
But the real problem is the fact that you can see all the beer in there behind a clear piece of we don't know what. We hope it's not glass. Probably plexiglass, but
there will be somebody
stupid.
You can see
the beer. People are going to try to break into these a lot.
Somebody's going to punch this and cut their hand up. This is going to happen.
You guys don't have one beer that if somebody goes, here's a cup of beer, you go, thank you, but I'm good.
Yeah, I know I do.
No,
you do?
Yeah, I will not drink a Blue Moon if offered to me.
No. Really? See,
now, not like Blue Moon. It's too chalky.
Right.
It's like fake good beer. People have like made it.
But
into
Blue
this
Moon
thing.
Was a gateway. Right, right, right. Like Blue Moon was kind of my gateway to really getting into the craft beer scene, though.
It was your gateway drug.
And I think that a lot of people stopped at that gateway, and they're like, this is great beer. No, it's not.
No,
well, once you get into
press
the IPAs
forward.
And the good craft, the stouts, et cetera, you forget about that original gateway.
You know, there's a lot of people out there, too, that are the opposite way. I know a lot of people that turn down nice beers. That they don't like classy IPAs, thick. Like,
sure.
I just want my Bud Light or my Coors Light.
Well, in Juneau, like that's how most of them.
That's how it is. Yeah. I got family members that are like that.
Yeah.
It's like nah.
You walk in the Juneau bar and they're like, "What?" You're like, "What IPAs do you have on tap?" They're like, "You can have Bud Light or Bud Heavy."
Well, you walk into an Alaskan bar, you're only getting Alaskan brewery. But the wedding I went to for my aunt, I actually showed up with an IPA from the brewery, the Husky IPA from Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really good IPA. And I had an uncle and his buddies were there and they're from Alaska. And let's just say we had to make another beer run because we had to go get
different choices.
Yes.
Okay.
But Heavy's, Miller, we had to go get the classics.
Well, I guess the qualifier I would put on this is what's the setting that I'm being offered the free beer? Like, am I in a drinking mood? Because if that's the case, then the answer to me is no. There are bad beers, but if I'm like out on a Friday or at a party or something, somebody's like, hey, we got this beer. You want one? Yeah, sure. Why not?
There's really not one?
No. Wow. Steel Reserve? Yeah, what the hell? Let's do it.
Wow.
Mixing a little old
I'll
English
on the Blue Moon.
Yeah,
I'll say no to Bud Light. Okay. And if I was going real beer snobby, but I probably wouldn't. But if I was, I'd probably throw Lagunitas on there.
Wow, really?
Yeah,
Lagunitas, huh?
I don't think I ever tried it till we did first year Ben Dale Trail, and I put it like a ton of it in my hydro flask.
Uh huh.
I ended up pouring like half of it out. I hated it,
dude. That's a sin. You can't do that.
Yeah, I like Lagunitas.
Yeah.
I was good on that.
It's not my go-to or anything, but that's a solid, well-distributed IPA.
Those are, no doubt. But I'm just saying those are probably the only two beers.
Nobody's even named Natty Ice?
No.
You named Blue Moon over Natty Ice?
Text line has given us Milwaukee Best, Brow, and I saw Heineken on there as well.
Oh, Heineken, really?
I don't mind Heineken.
I'm not a big Heineken guy, but I'll drink one if you give it to me for free. It's free beer.
The Corona smell can get to you, too.
The Corona smell.
You know what I mean?
We also got Busch Light and Henry Weinhard's making appearances.
Busch Light's a pretty good one.
Hmm.
You could do... Right. It would upset some people in this building because they're all butthurt about money, but you could do a bracketology of the worst beer.
Yeah, we could never pull that off for potential sponsors, but...
Why?
But just because, what if one of them ended up being a sponsor?
What's the difference between us doing that and John Stewart bashing Arby's for 13 years?
He has millions of viewers and people think it's funny and Arby's actually likes the attention.
Well, we're still giving the company attention. Like, if I don't like Bud Light, but I tell you I like Budweiser.
Sure, it's still a part of the company.
Isn't unfortunately, people don't like you quite as much as they like John Stewart.
Yeah, I don't think we're quite in that same category.
Almost, though.
I mean, I like us. I like you and
I would say you guys are right there.
But not quite John Stewart.
I'd say you're right near that John Stewart.
There's like the John Stewart class, then the Dirt and Spray class.
I'm not trying to say we're as likable as John Stewart. I'm just saying, I think people get their panties in a twist too much when you say that you don't like something. Yeah. Like, that doesn't mean that it has to be the most horrible thing for the company. Right? Like, if somebody comes in and says, this donut from that donut shop down the road is horrible, guess what I'm going to go do?
I mean, you're going to go try the donut?
I'm going to see if they're right.
You think there's a lot of people out there now that are...
the contrarian play. All right, prove it.
Wanting to try some Milwaukee's Best now after this segment?
I don't mind Milwaukee's Best. If I didn't, I'd tell you I don't like Milwaukee's Best that much.
All right, there you go. Well, I don't know how we got on that, but the Browns are giving away free Bud Light if they win a game. That's going to happen, and I think it's a pretty good promotional idea. Hey, we got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. A show announcement that we've been waiting to make that we finally can. We'll get to that at some point. We've been saying Tyrod Taylor's name the wrong way, apparently. Hugh Jackson did something that made me laugh. We got a lot to get to in the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.